Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Tea with Bradley. I'm your host, Bradley Wargo, and today I'm going to be talking about courage and self-beliefs. These are two topics that I really enjoy talking about. They are things that I think are central to who we are and what we do, and I think we can all be a little more courageous at times. And I want to kind of dig deep into what courage is and kind of how we can use it today. Because when we think of courage, we often think of that knight in shining armor who's fighting a dragon, or the courageous minimalist who suddenly gets rid of all of their possessions and lives in a house three times too small. And I kind of also want to talk about something that ties in pretty integrally with courage, and that's self-beliefs. Because you can't be courageous if you don't believe you're courageous. You have to truly feel in your heart and soul that you are a courageous person in order to do courageous acts. And what I want to kind of talk about with those self-beliefs is how we can change them, how we can view them to better serve us, and what it really means to believe something of ourselves. So whether you believe yourself to be courageous or not, and you can think about that answer, I want to encourage you to listen to this. And so if you are courageous, to hear this and say, okay, what makes me courageous? You know, do I really agree with these self-beliefs? Or is this just something I've been lying to myself about? And if you aren't courageous, then hopefully through this episode, I can kind of help boost you up and really get you to see that you probably are more courageous than you're giving yourself credit for, and that you also can change that and become more courageous in easy, simple ways. So with that said, let me dive into the definition of courage. Courage is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. Now that sounds pretty intimidating in and of itself. I mean, who wants to confront agony, pain, danger? Like, that just, no one wants to do that. And you know, you kind of hear that and you're kind of like, do I really want to be courageous? But you look at people in movies who self-sacrifice, for instance. They know they're going to die at the end of whatever the event is. But rather than trying to run from it, rather than trying to say, hey, you know, you're the hero of the story, but I really want to live. So, you know, I know you're trying to escape, but I am too. And, you know, if you're going to go down, or if I'm going to go down, you're going to go down with me. You know, they don't do that. They have that courage to choose and turn around willingly and face whatever that agony and pain is coming their way. So even though they know they're going to die, they are courageous to the end. Then you look at even the other part, intimidation there. You know, bringing it into today's time with intimidation, you look at a big guy trying to bully a little person, and you watch as the little person suddenly becomes courageous, if you will, and stands up to whomever that is, and they face them head on. And even though the little person's probably going to face some agony and pain in the sense of being punched or hurt, you know, they have that strength and that courage within them to face it. Now, how does that tie into you, though, as the bystander? Do you have the courage to step in and face the big guy? Do you have the courage to stand up and ridicule them for being a bully and using their power wrongfully? Do you have that courage to step in and potentially face the pain and agony of their actions? Another example for courage is even stepping up in front of a crowd of people. Self-inflicted pain, if you will, in the sense that you getting up is you allowing them to criticize you. You getting up and giving a speech. You creating a YouTube video, a podcast, a piece of artwork. You are creating something that is going to be subjected to pain and agony in the sense that if someone doesn't like it and disagrees with it, they'll let you know, and that's going to hurt to hear. Are you courageous enough to make it anyways? Are you courageous enough to give that speech? I believe we all can be, and this is where self-beliefs come into play. Self-beliefs are something that we believe to be true about ourselves. Now, Sean Covey, one of the guys that I mentioned in another episode, for Seven Habits of Highly Effective People starts out his book with a nice little thing called paradigms. And paradigms are these self-beliefs that we have on ourselves, and they're how we see the world. I like his little example of glasses, where you have a pair of glasses on, and whenever you find out something new or something life-changing, life-altering, you kind of change your pair of glasses in a way. Sometimes the glare might change slightly, or maybe a crack appears and all of a sudden it's now fixed. And essentially, it's just the way that we see the world can vary from person to person because of our experiences and past incidents. And these incidents are what create our belief. Now, I want to give a quick example on paradigms and kind of one that most of us will relate to. And it kind of personally drives me a little nuts now when people say it, because after hearing these ideas and kind of exposing myself to them and working on them myself, I hear it a lot more now. And it's a really popular one. Hi, I'm Bradley. I don't really remember names, so I'm sorry. Now, do you hear how I've just told you, hi, I'm Bradley, please care about me, please know my name, but at the same time, I'm not going to remember your name. I'm not really good at remembering names. Now, in my head, I sound like I'm being really courageous and kind in the sense of, hey, I'm letting you know up front, I kind of suck at this. This isn't a strong point of mine. And that's like when someone walks in and they're really bad at math and they're there for like tutoring and they go, hey, like, you know, I really suck at math. It's like, yeah, we know you do. That's why you're here for math tutoring. But when you're telling yourself that, what you're really telling yourself is like, hey, like, I'm never going to be good at math. Hey, I'm never going to be good at remembering your name. And no matter how many times you tell it, like, I'm really bad at remembering names. Like, you're probably going to have to tell it to me at least 100 times. And what the other person's hearing, though, is, hey, sorry, you know, like, I don't care enough to get to know you. I'm not really going to know your name. Only the people that I've been around for at least a month, I care to know their names for. And, you know, if you can be around me for a month, then I guess you're cool enough. How does that make them feel as a person? You know, does that really make the person you're telling that to feel good about themselves? You know? And I think one of the easiest ways to get out of this is like, oh, I'm in college, I'm meeting 1,000 people, or oh, I'm new to this job, I'm meeting 1,000 people, or, you know, I'm new to this town, I'm new to this city, and like in the last couple days I've met like 100 people. No. This is where I like to pull in Elon Musk, which I'm sure and hope you know. In what he likes to do is, I call them the Elon goals. And the way he does goals, and yes, I'll get to how this ties into remembering names in a second, is he likes to take whatever the goal is and make it much, much harder. So his team will come to him and say, hey, we have all of these resources and we can accomplish this goal and task or whatever it may be in 12 months. And he'll say, okay, get it to me in 8. Now, you might be like, what? Like 8 months, you know, like he just shaved off 4 months, a whole quarter of this entire time, actually a third, so excuse me. He just shaved off a third of the time. What the heck? But now his team is going to be working with an 8-month time limit, and they're going to burn the midnight oil. They're going to work it all through. And at the end of it, it might take them 10 months. But notice they came to him saying, we'll get it done in 12. And when did they get it done? In 10. But it's because he set that ridiculous goal. So remembering people's names or getting better at math or whatever it may be, simply saying, hey, I'm great at remembering names and I'm going to remember your name, is allowing yourself to say, okay, yeah, I'm meeting 1,000 people, but if I tell myself I'm good at remembering names when I don't remember, I don't know, 200 of them, that's okay, because hey, I'm good at it and I'm gonna know those 200 the next time I see them. But notice you've just remembered 800. And even if that's vice versa, if you tell yourself, hey, I'm really good at remembering names and you only remember 200, then the next time you get to see the other 800, you might remember 400 of those 800 and be 600 into the 1,000. And that's way more than someone who says, I don't remember names very well. And what this does, and why I'm bringing all this up into self-beliefs, is that we have self-fulfilling prophecies here. If I tell myself I'm terrible at remembering names, guess what? I'm going to be bad at remembering names. If I tell myself I'm bad at math, guess what? I'm bad at math. Because I am telling myself this, and I am believing it to be true, and so my body, mind, and soul will do everything in its power to make that reality. If I'm telling myself I'm bad at remembering names, then when someone's name comes in, my brain's going to be like, ah, I don't need this. You suck at it anyways. You already got an excuse. Toss. 2 seconds into the conversation, I'm sorry, what's your name again? And that's how bad it is for some people. But it's self-fulfilling. So what if I told myself every day, I'm really good at remembering names. I'm really good at remembering names. I'm really good at remembering names. Hey, guess what? My name's Bradley, and I'm really good at remembering names. Guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be really good at remembering names. What? But see, it's because I believe it. If I believe that I'm really good looking, then I'm going to walk around like a confident person. And even if I'm not that good looking, people are going to pick up on the confidence. If I walk around and say I'm a courageous person, then guess what? I'm going to do courageous things. If I tell people I'm a creative person, then guess what? I'm going to do creative things. Now, mind you, all of this has to be done in tandem with some form of action. I can't say I'm really good at remembering names and 2 seconds into the conversation, forget your name. That's not really good at remembering names. But if you're making a conscious effort to change something, if you are really bad at remembering names right now, say you do not really remember names because for the longest time you have been telling yourself, hey, like, I'm really bad at remembering names. Sorry, like, I've met 1,000 people today. You know, like, I'm not going to remember your name. Then when you start to change that, don't expect to go out there and be like, I'm really good at remembering names. Throw 1,000 names at me and I got this. Like, no, you don't. You know, it's a process there. But the point is, you start somewhere. And actually, I want to get into the process part here and how it all ties into courage and whatnot and these self-beliefs. So going back to the heroes, you know, we look at the knight in shining armor fighting the dragons, or even, you know, friends and family that minimalize and leave the state and go to another one just to pursue whatever it may be. And they're very courageous in that sense of facing the unknown, the uncertainty. And we compare ourselves to that. And what I kind of see with it is most heroes, when they start their journey, and most people, courage kind of comes from one of two areas. It's either the lack of knowledge in your ignorance, or it's the multitude of knowledge, which gives you confidence. So it's either ignorance or confidence is where your courage is really stemming from. Like, if you know you're going to die for something, you know it's going to happen, and that's your knowledge, but you're willing to face it because you also know that there's no way out of it. And so rather than trying to run and be futile in that effort, you face it and you say, okay, I got this. I'm going to do this. This is what I've like gotten myself into. I am courageous right now and I'm going to face it. And that's what you see with most like self-sacrifices. The other way, though, is very ignorant in the sense that when a new movie starts and you're watching and all of a sudden like something crazy happens, like you're a wizard, Harry, and all these crazy parts of a movie start to kind of come together. You know, when it first starts off, though, it's very ignorant in the sense of you have no idea what the world is like. In the very first movie of Harry Potter, which if you haven't seen by now, I don't feel bad spoiling, you know, we don't know anything about the wizarding world. We don't know anything about Voldemort. We don't know anything about the Dementors. We don't know anything about the evil side of the wizarding world yet. All we know is the very happy-go-lucky part of, hi, I'm Hagrid, and I'm here to take you to Hogwarts, Harry. Let's go get you an owl first, you know? And that's a very ignorant worldview, but it gives Harry courage to dive into the wizarding world. And from there, though, as he gains knowledge, as he gains power. Notice it's a journey. He doesn't just step into the wizarding world and they're like, oh, Harry, we need you to save us. We need you to defeat Voldemort. It's, hey, here, let's teach you everything. Oh, by the way, there's this evil brewing. We're preparing you for it. These things are setting you up for success. And then at the very end of it, he battles Voldemort. But notice it's at the end of it because it's a journey to get there. It's a journey to become more self-confident in ourselves. It's a journey to become a courageous person. And it takes those little steps. Step by step, Harry becomes more courageous and courageous enough to battle Voldemort. So looking at him and Malfoy, you know, I don't even know if I'm saying that right. I always called him Malfoy, but then I was told it was wrong. I was like, LOL. But, you know, you look at him battling it out with Malfoy in the sense that you watch him say, oh, you know what, like, screw you, like, you hurt my friends, and I'm coming after you now. And so this little meek boy who grew up in a family that treated him like crap has suddenly progressed into this courageous person who is now battling a bully. And then from there, he starts battling other creatures, like the werewolf or wolf thingy in, I think, episode 3. Then you've got, like, the Dementors that he grows into fighting. And, like, do you really think freshman Harry could fight a Dementor? No, he has minimal power control. Like, he doesn't really understand magic, and there's no way that he could fight it. But it's that progression of, okay, I've beaten Malfoy. I've beaten the biggest bully in school. I can beat anything else. Oh, man, you throwing a werewolf at me? I got it. Let's do this. Oh, man, you throwing some weird little spiritual thing at me? I got it. Oh, you got these little horcruxes, whatever, I don't know what they are, all around the world? I got it, bro. Oh, you want to come at me yourself, Voldemort? I got it. Let's go. Throw it down. 5 o'clock outside the store. Let's do it. And it's him becoming courageous. You know, like, I know it sounds funny and I'm kind of making a joke of it, but he becomes courageous. And we can all become courageous. If you consider yourself courageous, you can become more courageous. We can do more actions. We can step up for our own beliefs, and we can step up for those people who don't have that courage yet. And by showing them that courage, they become more courageous. Harry watches Dumbledore fight Voldemort himself, and Harry becomes courageous in that sense of, this is my mentor. This is the man that I've looked up to this entire time I've been at Hogwarts. And here he is fighting the worst wizard in the world. That's pretty freaking cool. I want to be like that. And when you step out of your comfort zone, when you stand up on a stage and you give a presentation, you want to be there. People want to be you. When people hear you on have a YouTube channel, people get jealous and say, I want a YouTube channel. And you doing it yourself shows them it's possible, and it gives them that courage. It gives them that belief in themselves. But it starts from your self-belief. And it starts from that momentum, that energy. It really, you have to want it. You have to believe it. And then do everything in your power to achieve it. Wow, I like that. I'm probably going to write that down for later. Quotes by Bradley. I already forgot it. I'll listen to it. But it's that fact of, hey, you know, we're looking at these courageous people. We're looking at these beliefs. And there's no reason to doubt yourself. There's no reason to say you aren't courageous, when in reality you are. And I want you to get out there and show the world how courageous you are. I want you to choose to willingly confront any of the agony along your path, any of the pain of your past or in your future. Face the danger head on as if you have a magical sword in your hand ready to take it down. Cut through the uncertainty and face that intimidation with a bigger smile than anyone could imagine. Go show the world who you are. Be courageous. You are courageous. Thanks for listening.